Welcome to the July 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. Where am I? This is Beth Von Gunten. I'm chairing, and we'll go through the roll call now. Christina Avalos? I don't hear Christina. Rachel Barr? I don't hear Rachel. Marisol Cruz? I don't hear Marisol. Violetta Diamond?
She asked for an excused absence.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I've got that down. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Present.
Thank you. Welcome, Vanessa. Bill Foster?
Here.
Thank you. Christina Huggins. We heard from Christina earlier that she would not be able to be with us tonight and ask for an excused absence. Robert Lokender.
Present.
Thank you, Robert. Marianne Martinez. Marianne?
Sorry, computer problem. I'm here. Present.
Thank you. James Bagerton. I don't hear from James yet. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Jane Scheidler.
Present.
Thank you, Jane. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Thank you, Aki. This is Beth Von Gunten, and I'm present. Michael D.D. White.
I'm here.
Thank you, Michael. Carol Wolfley. I don't hear Carol. If others join at any point in the meeting, please notify me if I don't happen to catch it. If there's a visual but no audio, then let me know and we'll fill in any of the gaps we have. So we do have quorum. We will move ahead with the agenda. You all should have received the agenda by email. I'll go through it now for the purpose of approval. Item number one is call to order, roll call. We've done that. Item number two is agenda approval, what we're doing now. Item number three is minutes approval. Item number four, assign timekeepers for speakers. Item number five, certify elections or chair. Item number six, report back from the PNB, Beth Von Gunten. And item number seven, Pacifica Committee member non-disclosure confidentiality agreements and consent for electronic transmissions. Number eight, next PNB Governance Committee meeting will be announced. And number nine, we will adjourn, I think, easily by 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Is there any discussion of the agenda? Are there any objections to the adopting the agenda? I guess I should move the agenda. Someone should move the agenda first. So I do move the agenda. Is there any opposition?
Well, I just wanted to add a motion.
Chair,
let me know. I want to let you know I'm here, James.
Thank you, James. I'll put you down as present.
Thank you.
One more. Thank you for making the effort to get here after your earlier meeting. And Aki, you say you have a motion?
Right. Yeah, I'll put it in the chat.
Could I ask you please to email it to everyone? Not sure. Everyone can see the chat. You can put it in the chat too, but for all of us to be able to see it, we need to have it in the an email.
Okay.
Carol, for this staff.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're still in the process of approving the agenda. Aki, where did you propose that we put your motion?
Well, it should be, you know, let's see, where is the, some sort of,
may I suggest that we put it, that the earlier items are all fairly procedural and straightforward. I don't think they'll take much time, and they've been held up by not having achieved quorum at the last meeting. If we could take care of that first, then we could put, you can put your item as item number 8. Would that be okay? I think we'll have as much time to discuss it as you need.
Okay, that's fine. Also, Carol Wolfe is the one who put the motion in. She copied everybody, it looks like, on the email.
Okay, it must have been recent. I haven't caught up with it yet.
Yeah, it was sent it was sent at 5:32 p.m.
Okay. I'm writing that down so I can go retrieve it. So I have that down as item number 8.
Okay.
So that's an amendment. Thank you, Aki. Is there that's an amendment to the agenda. Is there any opposition to that amendment? Hearing no opposition, we'll consider that adopted. Is there any opposition to adopting the agenda as approved? Or excuse me, as amended. Hearing no opposition, we'll consider the agenda now approved. Next item, number 3.
Carol, for this stack.
To address what? Carol, what's your...
I just wanted to be recognized as having joined the meeting.
Thank you. I'll grant you that as a point of personal privilege. Thank you. Very good. And so the motion that Aki just put forward, that would have been your motion?
Yes. Thank you. Number 8 now.
Yes. Thank you. I'm taking just a moment to make sure I have all this down in order. So item number 3. On our agenda is minutes approval. And if you'll all check your email from not long ago, I think it must have gone out about 5 o'clock, is a very brief set of minutes from our last meeting on June meeting, at which we were not able to make quorum. Is there anyone who...
I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition to adopting the minutes as proposed? In that case, we'll consider them adopted and approved. And move on to item number 4. Is there anyone who would like to serve as timekeeper for speakers? Probably shouldn't be very demanding for any item unless I haven't yet seen the motion from Carol and Aki, but that's the only item that I see that might entail much discussion. Any volunteers for timekeeper? Or speakers? Hearing none, we'll move on without one, and if it seems necessary, I'll ask again at the time. Item number 6, a report back from the PNB. That would be from me. I carried our previous motion to stand up a subcommittee to review the bylaws for compliance with current California law, nonprofit law. And that motion was approved by the PNB without opposition. It was unanimous. And we have not yet, that subcommittee has not yet met, but I think like this last month, as anybody in Pacifica knows, has been especially demanding with getting these elections off the ground. I think at this point, we should have an opportunity soon for that subcommittee to meet. I've heard so far from Michael D.D. White and James Segerton, initially from them in regarding their willingness to take part. And if I'm not mistaken, Minerva Sanders has also expressed interest. If there's anyone else who has an interest in taking on this work, please contact me by email at your earliest convenience, and I'll see what we can set up. Thank you. I don't think there's anything else required in that item. No further decisions. Item number 7. Pacifica Committee Member Non-Disclosure and Confidentiality Agreements and Pacifica Consent for Electronic Transmission. I want to thank Mr. Foster for being absolutely the first one over the line in providing his non-disclosure agreement today. And fortunately, we don't have any closed session items on the agenda immediately, so there's still time. And so I'll urge everyone again to, it's easiest if we get these, if we just get these things in and have them on file, so that at whatever point we encounter the necessity for a closed session item, we won't have to jump through this hoop at the time. We'll have this in place. Thank you. And I realize, I think I glided right past it. Item number 5, I missed. So we'll go back and pick that up. This was on the agenda for last meeting, but we didn't make quorum. This was certification of the election results for chair, which I forwarded to all of you again by email before this meeting. The results were that I was elected as chair. Is there any discussion of that result or election? Then do we have a motion to certify that result?
So moved. Seconded.
Thank you. Who was it that made the motion?
I moved to certify the results.
Thank you. Is that Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, is there any discussion? Is there any opposition to that motion? In which case we consider that election certified. I think now that all those earlier procedural matters that I had hoped to get taken care of today, I'm looking now to to email to pick up the motion from Carol and copying it into to my notes for this meeting where I can work from them today. Does everyone else have a copy, or are you where you can see a copy? Is there anyone who needs a copy of this motion? Okay, then.
I'm sorry, Chair. I'm so sorry. Who sent the motion?
It was from Carol Wolfley.
Carol.
And I'm told it came at 5:32. It was right at the top of my stack when I had a chance to look. And so, Carol, would you please read your motion?
Yeah. So I just sent, I made one change to the motion. So I just sent the new motion at 5:52. And the new motion reads, the Pacifica Governance Committee recommends that the Pacifica National Board pass the following motion. Whereas many members are alarmed about the Pacifica Foundation Incorporated's escalating financial decline and governance crisis and proposals for consolidation of some accounts and financial tools. And whereas many members from successful stations have shared that they do not want their donations to be used to cover ongoing debts and expenses incurred at stations that are not financially self-sustaining. And whereas the Pacifica bylaws and articles of incorporation call for all stations, units, to be as nearly self-sustaining as possible, therefore be it resolved that the financial resources, accounting, and assets of Pacifica's self-sustaining stations and of the Pacifica affiliates be held separately and managed by those stations and unit, and that the Pacifica executive director be restored the Pacifica bylaws mandated responsibility for making crucial personnel and programming changes to support the financial stability of the network with innovative and listener-supported radio and media platforms. So,
would you like to take a moment to motivate your motion?
Yes. So I know this is probably kind of a shocking and alarming motion, but I think it's an important one for people to understand that we have gotten many emails from listeners and members saying that they no longer want to donate to KPFA because they're concerned that the money is not going to KPFA. They, you know, when somebody's pitching on the radio, they pitch for KPFA and they pitch for supporting our station. And I think that what will happen is as resources, if resources are combined or taken from KPFA, we will lose more and more donors in the future. And as I mentioned, the bylaws mandate for all stations to be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. And I think what that means is that issues need to be addressed at stations that are not financially self-sustaining, and those, it's my understanding that, that it would be helpful for the executive director to have the full bylaws mandated responsibility for making necessary changes to address the crisis. So, I understand that in exigent circumstances, you know, money can be borrowed on a temporary basis, and that isn't about exigent circumstances that happen occasionally. It's about ongoing financial drain on self-sustaining stations. So that's the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we go on, I'd like to ask anyone who does not have the floor, please to mute your line. I'll take a stack and call on, make sure that everyone has a chance to weigh in and call on you in turn. But until you're given the floor, please mute your line so that we can hear each other and don't have to shout to be heard. Thank you. So let's take a stack. Who would like to comment on this
motion? Chair, I have my hand raised. Point. Can you see that?
So do I, Chair. That's what it is.
Okay, I hear Mr. Sagerton. Vanessa? Is that Vanessa?
Yes, that is Chair. Point of order. I think it's a procedural point. I guess it's a suggestion. It appears you're on the phone and you can't see the hands raised. Do you want to appoint ask someone, delegate someone to monitor the hands for you? I can't do it, but perhaps somebody else could.
Who's willing to do that? I can do it. Thank you. Okay. So we have James Sagerton and Vanessa, and who was after Vanessa?
Michael D.D. White.
Okay.
And then who is Galaxy Vanessa?
That is me. If it says flip phone, that's me.
Okay. So yeah, Vanessa, Michael D.D. White, and James Sagerton is on the sack.
And that's all for now? Okay. Let's start with Mr. Sagerton. You have the floor, Jim.
Chair, were you recognizing me?
I am, yes.
Thank you. I apologize. I didn't hear you at first. Okay, so I am going to move to separate. These are two very different items in one motion. And I believe the procedure when a member of the body moves to separate, it's automatically done. You don't have to vote on it. It's just done.
Okay.
That would mean we would, take each item individually.
And could you articulate the two separate items so that I know where you mean that to be divided?
I believe one was about the restoring the power to basically hire and fire to the executive director. And the other one was about managing funds separately.
Okay, got it.
For stations. I don't know if there was anything else there. And I would like to also emphasize that the bylaws say, everyone seems to think that when the bylaws say the station should be as nearly self-sustaining as possible, that means self-sustaining. It does not. It means as nearly self-sustaining as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
So there's Vanessa and Michael D.D.
Okay, one moment. So I have therefore separated the two items, the first being to manage funds separately and the second to restore powers to the ED. And we'll address the first issue first and separately. And resolve it before we move on to the second item. So we're addressing managing funds separately, that issue first. And Vanessa's next up.
Vanessa, okay. All right. Thank you, Chair. So I just want to rise in opposition to the concept of each station. I'm trying to find the right words. I know the issue has been raised before, but in general, this is a network. We are a group of connected stations that help each other. When one station is in a position to be able to do so, if it were not for stations who had previously provided tremendous financial assistance to a station that might support is making this motion or supporting this motion, that station would not be in the favorable financial position in which it finds itself now. So I know it's frustrating for stations who are financially more sustainable at certain periods of time to have to help other stations, provide assistance to other stations who were not in that position at the time. But there was a time when they received the assistance that they now do not want to give. So I think it, as much as I understand the frustration, I think it goes counter to the very notion of a network of stations, all of us connected to each other. And it's a nice idea when we have, when we're a station is in the position of having more money to say, hey, we just want to manage our money. You guys, if you can't make it on your own, then whatever happens to you is what happens to you. But the general premise is that we are a network and we do help each other and we have helped each other. And so at this point, when someone's in a better position to cut that off and say, well, we don't want to help anymore. We'll just manage our money and the rest of you are on your own, I think is, I'll just use the word, I guess, inappropriate, certainly not in the framework of being a network. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vanessa. Now, Michael D. Dwight is next.
Thank you. James had exactly the same thought that I did about separating these. So when it says that, when the bylaws say as self-sustaining as possible, that's what the bylaws say. And then to propose this, I think, is proposing to amend the bylaws and supersede the bylaws. So I think this is something that the governance committee absolutely cannot propose. We can't say the bylaws say this and they should say something else. If we want to say that the bylaws should be changed, we should propose a bylaw amendment. To say that they should be held separately, raises the question of what that means. So, every station that is self-sustaining should have a separate account and there should be no, network. In essence, there shouldn't be a network. Or are we saying that the self-sustaining stations would be in one pot and those identified as non-self-sustaining would be in another pot? That's not clear from this language because it could be a separate pot for each so-called self-sustaining. I think the other problem is that this requires identifying it to be operative. Someone is going to have to say what kind of station is self-sustaining and what is not. And that involves things as pointed out previously, such as timeframes. So, a station, if you take one time frame, a station may say, yeah, it may qualify by someone's definition, but whose definition is going to apply? We're really getting into a very sticky situation where you can have probably about 10 different subjective judgments as to what station is in what category, et cetera, at what time or what period of time. So I don't think this is workable, but also I don't think we have to worry about whether it's workable because I think it proposes to supersede the bylaws and the governance committee would not look good in proposing that the bylaws be superseded rather than amended.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Is there anyone else who wanted to address this? If not, then
it's Carol. I would Carol for the stack.
So Carol, I want to be sure that we hear from everyone else first before returning to you. I've got you down for
yes, further comments. There's nobody else on the stack at the moment.
Jane Chai, okay, then the stack.
Okay, one moment. I'll recognize Jane now, and if there are further speakers after that, we'll consider that. I intend to comment also, and I'll save myself till last. So, Jane, go ahead.
Did you say James or Jane?
Sorry, I Ms. Seidler, Jane Seidler.
Sorry.
Thank you. I just want to echo what Vanessa said so eloquently with this statement, and that is, we are a network. We are not individuals. We are all in this together, and each individual station will have its ups and downs. And I have been members of stations for decades, and some of them were more successful than others, and some of them had good years and bad years, but we all have to stick together. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Is there anyone else now before I offer my comment?
Well, there's Carol.
Carol made the motion, and she'll have another chance to speak after everyone else who wants to comment can do so. So I'll add my comment now, and then we'll return to Carol. And we have somebody's line is open. We have a second line open. I'm getting
I see three hands up. That's all.
I think that's Sue. And thank you for your interest, Sue, but you're not actually on this committee. And therefore, I'll ask you please to mute your line. You're welcome to listen, but the participants are limited to those who have been elected to the committee. Thank you. So my comment regarding this motion, I would point out that my own home station, KPFK, has been effectively decapitated and denied permanent paid and professional management for more than 2 years, and have been, in effect, crippled from being able to address many of the problems that are facing our station and our network. And at this point, we're now being effectively, unwillingly disembodied by the sale of our building to pay down the debt of the entire network. That's a building that was designed and built explicitly for the station at that location, because it has rare direct line of sight to the broadcast facility. And we'll never get anything like that back. So it's really, I guess, beyond the pale to me that anyone would propose at this point that somehow those of us who have been so neglected for so long should bear the burden of writing the very, very difficult financial system we find ourselves in, one in of many, many long years of making. So that completes my statement for the moment. Is there anyone else who wanted to be heard before Carol is given the floor again? In that case, Carol, we recognize you.
Thank you. I understand this is a very challenging time. And what I want to differentiate between is, as I said, let me just give an example. If you have a station that in the audits is recognized as owing the network $8 million. So, and if in a report at the National Finance Committee, it was stated that they're not just going to go in and make programming changes there. So if you have situations that are long-term without a willingness within the network to make necessary changes, then that affects all of the stations. And those stations that have buildings are particularly vulnerable. Part of the proceeds from KPFT were not used for KPFT, when their building was sold, although I'm happy that they have survived and landed on their feet and worked very hard to be self-sustaining at this time. And I know the affiliates are a vital and precious, precious resource for the whole network, because they are reaching out across places all over the United States that are so vital and so valuable. And for their accounts and monies that they bring in from the affiliates to be vulnerable is also very serious. So what I'm, you know, and I recognize, I mean, there are situations like you have a station that went from 13,000 members to 5,000 members. You know, this is, I mean, around, those are rounded numbers, but I think, you know, all stations, and in terms of the accountability that the other member was mentioning, the accountability comes through central services. So all stations are supposed to be paying a certain amount of central services. I mean, now they're not even paying, and that's proportional. That's not like everybody pays the same amount. That's proportional to the amount of money that they bring in, but then some stations don't pay anything of central services. So they're riding on the backs of the other stations. There are ways to address the issues of programming, and that hasn't happened. And so I can say that from coming from a station that is and has been financially self-sustaining, where one of our buildings was taken and sold for other expenses, where $300,000 were taken out of our bank account for defamation at another station. You know, you can talk about brothers and sisterhood and we're a network and everything, but I would not treat my brother or sister in that way. It's about responsibility. It's about self-sustaining. It's about making wise choices instead of getting into political entanglements. So I know this is controversial. I know that a lot of people may not like it because it may threaten in certain ways. But I hope that you will consider having it go to the PNB, because I think it is an important discussion to take place at the PNB. So at least you hear that members at KPFA are saying that they do not want to donate. They want their donations to go to KPFA. And that includes paying central service fees. Thank you.
Thank you. There's time enough. We can allow further discussion on this. If anyone else wants to, is there anyone else who wants the floor to address this? We'll take another stack.
James.
I have my hand up. Michael.
Okay. I've got James Sagerson and Michael D.D. White. Anybody else?
Vanessa, please.
Thank you, Vanessa. We'll ask again after Vanessa. If anyone else wants the floor, I'll put myself again at the bottom of the stack. Okay, James, go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not able to take notes at the moment, but there were so many misstatements of fact and misrepresentations in the last speaker's comments that I don't even know where to begin. But I'll start with whether stations pay their central services. For example, WBAI paid $200,000 in central services, I think a year and a half ago. And nobody seems to credit that. We also had a building that was taken from us and applied by the then executive director to the general fund and not credited to WBI, as was requested by the WBI manager in an email that accompanied the check for that building. We also just a couple of years ago, year and a half ago, had a donor who gave $500,000 to Pacifica from the New York area. He gave that because he listened to WBAI. And so these things are discounted and, you know, kind of phony categories of, well, that this is essential services and that's not. Don't really appreciate the full value of our stations and what they contribute. In addition to that, the $8 million about the WBAI owes, that includes the Empire State Building settlement. And that was not a decision by WBAI that was made to go to the Empire State Building. That was a decision made by the Pacifica National Board. Pacifica is responsible for that decision, which means, you know, should we start saying, well, KPFA is responsible for that because their members voted for that too? No, it's inappropriate to be saying WBAI is at fault for all these things. Another thing, if some of the members at KPFA hadn't testified in favor of John Verniel in that mediation, then maybe he wouldn't have gotten a $305,000 settlement. there are so many other things. I am at a loss right now, but maybe somebody else will pick up on some of them, and maybe I'll have a chance to come back if I recall some of the others. So I'll yield right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Michael. Michael, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. So one of the things I'm wondering, and I'm going to just remind everyone that I say that, this is an attempt to supersede the bylaws. But in superseding the bylaws, I think we're a governance committee, and telling the PNB how it should make these management decisions, I think, is intervening where it's the PNB has to exercise its judgment. But some of this conversation is reminding me. I said it's going to be very difficult to make the subjective decisions about what is and is not, and how you define a station that's a self-sustaining. So I've been through having to handle some things for people, situations where you've heard the expression asset rich and cash poor, where so you can have a cash flow situation, and you can be there are various definitions of bankruptcy or whatever. You can have a situation where you've got cash flow problems, but you are sitting on huge assets. And also, you can be sitting on huge assets, and those assets can be contributing because those assets are being used as security, which is then turned into cash. So, are you going to define self-sustaining based on cash flow? You're going to set based on, whether your assets are sufficiently over your liabilities. How are you going to take into account the way loans are leveraged against assets that are, I just think this is unworkable, and that's why it's really for management. Or the PNB as a board to manage, it's their job to do this, and it's not our job to make up a rule that we don't even know what it means.
Thank you, Michael. Vanessa, next.
Thank you, Chair. So this goes back to the issue of a station being in a favorable cash position, because they were greatly assisted by another station in the past. So it's my understanding, anybody, correct me if I'm wrong, that KPFK gave great sums of money to KPFK and KPFA in the past. So in the motion that's being proposed, or the resolution, the idea that's being proposed, should KPFA then be responsible for going back to repay KPFK for the money that it borrowed that allows it now to be in a favorable cash position? So again, it just reverts to the idea of us being a network. I think the most important point is the one that the previous speaker made, which is that it really seeks to supersede rather than amend the bylaws. And it's just not the way a network behaves.
Thank you, Vanessa. Is there anyone else who wants the floor at the moment?
Carol, for this staff, I'd like to respond to one part. Beth, you know, James and
Carol, yeah. Carol, I'd be happy to return to you again after we've heard from everyone else on the committee.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah, James and Michael Dede White's hands are up, and then there's nobody else.
Okay, hang on then.
And Michael Dede White just hopped. So just James.
Okay, then one moment. I'll go ahead with my own comment, and then we'll return. So I wanted to address the issue of the drop in membership. At KPFK, a number of on-air staff were inappropriately allowed to use Pacifica assets and the public airways to denigrate Pacifica, other stations, other staff, membership, and governance for years before they were finally held to account. And they were overtly, directly directing members not to give, directing members to withdraw their support for the station. This was at the time of the hotly disputed bylaws revisions a couple of years ago. And within 1 year's time, in response to that organized campaign, we lost half our membership, half. And we've been in economic freefall since then, did this during a time when we did not have permanent management. It was honestly one of the things that prompted me to run for governance at the local level for the first time, and I'm glad I did. But I don't accept that that's an appropriate use of Pacifica assets or the public airwaves, and it's an absolute abrogation of any staff members' legal obligations and should not have been allowed to go on. I regret that at least one of those people, no longer with KPFK, has been picked up elsewhere. That can't be ignored in this dynamic. So I'll stand down now. And we've heard, James, we heard from you once before. We'll hear from Carol again. And if there are still others who want to weigh in, we can consider it then. So Carol, you have the floor.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that we all have different pieces of information and different ways of looking at some of these issues. You know, for me, if somebody commits defamation, it's that person is, and those involved at that station, are responsible. It isn't about who testified. If someone robs a bank and they go to jail, they don't go to jail because the person, a witness testified, they go to jail because they committed a crime. So I think there are management issues in, like, if somebody, a staff member, did something that was inappropriate, that was the responsibility of you know, management on up the line. Pacifica has had over, I believe, 18 managers in, you know, the past years, executive directors. So there's a huge turnover of managers. So I believe there are issues that are very serious within governance. I mean, the crisis within governance now is daunting. The financial crisis is challenging. And what we're saying is, you know, that it isn't, we don't want to lose our building. We don't want KPFK to lose their building. We want changes that are going to improve the programming and there has been entrenched resistance to making the necessary changes to move things forward. And so sometimes you need an intervention. And KPFA, you know, there's the whole talk about, oh, like KPFA is not self-sustaining because there were loans in the past which it has repaid to the network. KPFA is self-sustaining because it has quality training programs. It has, put the emphasis on a news department, and because it has not gone to some programming choices that have turned off listeners. So I do urge people to think about these issues. You may vote against it today, but I hope that this conversation will continue, because it's important for us to try to understand each other's perspectives. We do not want our listeners to stop donating because they don't want their money going to a cause that they didn't donate to. So, and that doesn't mean not paying central services. It means going beyond that. So thank you for everyone for your patience. And I hope you will consider these issues so we can find ways to work our way through this horrific challenge.
Thank you. Before we go to a vote, is there anyone else who wanted to weigh in? I understand that James' hand was up again. Was there anyone else?
Yes, Chair.
I've got you down. Is there anyone else for the staff now? Okay, James, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, apparently this conversation will continue because it keeps getting brought up over and over and over again, no matter how many times it's turned back. On the issue of defamation, the defense to defamation is truth. And if I'm not mistaken, that case is still on appeal, so I wouldn't count your chickens before they hatch. For those who want to talk about guilty of the crime, go to jail. You know, we may lose. It's a mediation. It's not a court case. But the truth is that that mediation found that the executive director in question was fired for cause and that that was justified. And then when somebody put a name to what that person did, then somehow that was defamation. So, you know, to me, that makes no legal sense at all. Again, it's a mediation, so maybe it's our bad because mediators cut the baby in half. That's what they do. So that's a problem. with regard to the matter of programming, radio across the country, across North America, maybe even further than that, is in decline. It's because of the, you know, well, it's start out, it's because of television, then it's because of cable, and now it's because of the internet. There are many, many reasons why radio is in decline. And again, the hubris on the part of the speaker from KPFA is remarkable in thinking that somehow they're going to be immune from these trends in radio. They lost members recently, like everybody else did. It's my belief that KPFA is on the same curve as everybody else. They're just a few years behind, not least because they're in a very high economic, social class area where their listeners have a lot of money. They don't have any more listeners or donors than some of the other stations, but they give more money. Now, maybe they're appealing to that higher class of people. Who knows? But the real things that are happening in radio are, it's not as simple as you pick one kind of programming or another kind of programming. It's a factor. I don't deny that it's a factor. I look forward to some changes in programming, at WBAI and at KPFK and, you know, at other stations as well. But, to rely on that alone in such a smug fashion is you're poking the tiger. Be careful. That's all.
I'd like to speak.
Is that Carol again?
Marianne, but I also see that Aki and James have their hands up.
Okay. Hang on. Marianne and Aki.
And James.
But he may have already spoken. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to lower my hand and I'm having trouble getting back to the screen, so ignore that for now.
Okay.
A point of personal privilege?
Yes.
What's your point of personal privilege, Carol?
I felt alarmed at the last statement. You're poking the tiger. Be careful. I want to clarify if that was a threat.
Oh.
It's not clear to me how that would be a threat. But you've been heard now. We do have others on the stack. Marianne,
I would request if Mr. Sagert, if the speaker would please clarify if that was a threat.
Well, other, sure. It's, of course, it was not a threat. I was saying that if you're thinking and you're smug about your programming being why you're happy and doing so well, be careful, because radio all over is having trouble. NPR is cutting their staff. In New York City, WNYC, that has like $100 million budget, had to reduce their staff by 20% because people aren't listening to radio. And really, grow up about the threats.
A point of personal privilege. Again, I...
Carol, you haven't been recognized yet, and I would put the question to you. Do you want to debate the issue on its merits, or is it your intention to pursue this personal tit for tat? Because clearly you've raised a very contentious issue. People are going to have very, very heated and different opinions about it, and on both sides. And if we divert to taking up these personalized issues, it's not going to leave time to address the actual issue on its merits. So what's your intention here?
I think grow up. Saying that to someone is insulting, and I am attempting to be respectful in the context of this meeting.
Sorry, I think that sounds like James, but your line is garbled.
I'll try again. Respectfully, if I may.
Okay, briefly, please. Go ahead.
Suggesting that I made a threat is by far a worse violation than telling someone to grow up.
Thank you. I hope we can leave this where it lays and now return to addressing the issue on the merits. There is a motion on the floor. Marianne, did you want to address this?
Well, I think that Aki had his hand up also, ahead of
me.
Yeah,
I have him ask. Okay, then. I'm happy to take you in whatever, which I have you both down. I'm happy to take you in whichever order you appeared. So,
yeah, I took it
down. If you're deferring to Aki, then Aki?
Oh.
I took my hand out.
Okay. All right. Well, let me know if you change your mind, Aki. Marianne, you can go ahead.
Well, all I wanted to say was that, basically, I understand what Jim is saying, and I agree that we are in some difficult times as far as radio is concerned. This has been going on for a long time, and a lot of it has to do with just changes that are going on with radio, right? We have to adapt, and we've been doing that. And I think we've been doing it very well. But I would like to remind everybody something that's close to my heart. And I think that we should always remember the roots of Pacifica Radio and where we came from. And that was peace activism, right? And through radio broadcasting, right? And so I really truly believe that if we were to stick with our mission statement and always remember our mission statement, read our mission statement, pledge allegiance to that mission statement, you know, I believe that by doing that, we would be on the right track and we could draw more listeners because we are truly a unique radio medium. And no matter how many different sources of radio come along, there will never be another Pacifica. And I really do believe, and that's just what I wanted to mention to our group here, that if we stick to that Pacifica mission statement, read it over and digest that what our founders put together for us, it is incredible. And it's something that I really believe will help us and maintain us and sustain us for, you know, a long time. And basically that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
You're here.
Thank you, Marianne. Really sincerely. Very much appreciated at this point. Before we proceed, I have a question for Michael. Based on your comments today, are you suggesting then that this motion is out of order on the basis that it attempts to change or supersede the bylaws or on other grounds? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the bylaws say one thing, and to say that we should be doing something different than the bylaws is to supersede the bylaws. So, and I don't think we have that authority. I think that it would not look good for a governance committee to recognize, not to recognize that it can't just supersede the bylaws. We're supposed to be aware of the constraints of the bylaws, and we should know the difference between superseding them and amending them. If the constraints don't work or are not suitable, you know, we can propose amending the bylaws, but, yes, it would be out of order, I think, to supersede the bylaws.
Well, then, on that basis, I think you're correct. And on that basis, I'll rule the motion out of order. I appreciate the issue having been brought out into the light where it could be discussed. And I thank everyone for having taken part in what was almost completely a very civil discussion. And I don't expect this to be the last. I'm sure there will be more. There would be other ways. If Carol wants to pursue this, there are other ways that she could bring this forward through her PNB representatives to the PNB. If she wants to try to bring it forward through other committees, again, that's up to her, whether finance wants to consider it or whatever. But at least for this committee, I'm sorry to say, I would rule this this motion out of order on the basis that it's an attempt to change the, or supersede the bylaws.
I would like to challenge the ruling of the chair.
Thank you, Carol. I thought you might. In that case, we'll go to a vote. And for that purpose, I'll call the roll again. I think Christina Avalos still isn't with us. Christina, are you present? I don't hear her. Rachel Barr told us she wouldn't be present. Marisol Cruz, not here. Did Violeta Diamond, or did Violeta, we were told that Violeta couldn't be here today. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, do you vote to uphold the ruling of the chair?
Yes.
Thank you. William Foster, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Foster. Christina Huggins isn't here today. Robert Lokender?
Yes.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez? Marianne, are you muted? I hope you're still present. We'll come back to Marianne. James Sagerton. James? How do you vote? To uphold the ruling of the chair or not?
Yes, uphold the chair.
Thank you. Minerva Sanders.
I vote with the chair. To uphold the chair.
Thank you, Minerva. Thank you. Thank you. Jane Scheidler.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Aki Tanaka.
No.
He's new. I've done this.
Michael D.D. White.
Yes, uphold.
Thank you, Michael. Carol Wolfley.
No.
Thank you. We've got a no. I'll go back and catch anyone we may have missed. I think we didn't hear from Marianne. Marianne, did you want to vote on this item? This is, we've taken everyone else's vote. This will be the last chance. Are you muted? Are you still present? Can anyone there with a visual see if Marianne
is still present? We're showing her still present. This is Minerva, but it's muted. She may have stepped away.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and register my own vote. I'm going to vote to uphold my own ruling. And so, Marianne, we're about to count the vote. This is the last call for voting on this issue.
I apologize. I'm abstaining.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. In that case, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses. Down here and record that. Sorry, I just want to be sure I have this down. For when I need to make. And we have two no's. And we have one abstention. And so the ruling of the chair is upheld. Now that's the first half of what Carol brought forth. The other is regarding restoring the powers of the ED. And we have just 12 minutes left to deal with this at this meeting. Carol, did you want to make your case for this item?
Yes, hold on. Yes, okay. So it's my understanding that the bylaws allow the and call for the executive director to be able to make decisions regarding hiring and firing of management and also programming decisions, and that it's my understanding that the that is not fully operable at this time, and so my motion would be to support the executive director in exercising her full responsibilities as mandated in the bylaws.
I'm taking that down to support the ED in exercising.
Oh, let me read it. I'm sorry. I was motivating it, but I wasn't reading it. And that the Pacifica executive director be restored the Pacifica bylaw mandated responsibility for making crucial personnel and programming changes to support the financial stability of the network with innovative and listener supported radio and media platforms.
Thank you. So thank you for reading it and for motivating. And now we'll take a stack. Again, I would point out we have 10 minutes left.
James, please.
Vanessa to the stack, please.
Okay.
Chair, actually, I have a point of information, I think.
Yeah.
If this qualifies as a... I'm sorry.
What's your question?
Oh, what's my question? I don't understand the point. I really don't get the context in which the ED's something, you know, authorization or authority being restored. I don't understand the context. So if that counts as a point of information, that's fine. If not, I'll just be on the stack.
So you're asking for clarification of the context?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Carol, would you like to explain very briefly, because we're very limited time here. If you can address Vanessa's question, can you clarify the context?
Yeah, it's my understanding that the current contract for the executive director has limitations in it, which are different from what is mandated in the bylaws.
So then your motion is to amend her contract. Is that correct?
My motion is that it be restored. So my motion is what is written. That those responsibilities be restored.
Okay. Oh, Chair.
Vanessa, does that clarify? Yeah.
Yeah, it clarifies it some. I'm sorry, it clarifies it some. Okay. It clarifies it somewhat, but on the stack, I'll ask if there's been any analysis of what duties need to be restored so that it's not so general.
Okay, thank you. We've got James and Michael and then you. James, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, as Carol herself pointed out, it's something people like to point out. We've had 18 executive directors in 19 years or vice versa, 19 in 18 years, whatever it is. That has changed. Our current executive director has been in the position for a year and a half. I have a meeting with her every Friday meetings scheduled every Friday, and sometimes those meetings go on for several hours. She has never once suggested that she would like her job description, which, you know, she signed as part of her contract, to be changed. And in fact, there's nothing in the way we operate right now, and in fact, I've encouraged her at times, to come forward with proposals for layoffs when they're needed, for hires when they're needed. And she has been somewhat reluctant to do so. But she certainly has the power and the authority to do so. I would like her to make such suggestions. But currently Pacifica has a policy that any hires or fires have to go through the PNB. And that, in fact, was a response to some of the crazy up and down that Pacifica has gone through when one side gets elected and fires everybody that the other side appointed and vice versa. So the very issue that Carol mentioned was the reason for the policy. So far, it seems to be working out pretty well. This executive director has been in the position for a year and a half. We're achieving some stability. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, like the rest of radio, our numbers are still going down. We haven't figured out how to diversify onto other platforms effectively enough, although we are trying. So, again, I don't see the reason for this. It's a policy that's had a good effect, and I hope we can continue it. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Next up is Michael.
Yeah. So this motion says that the bylaws mandate something, and then it says that that mandate has been not complied with, it's been violated. So that is problematic. I don't, you know, do we want to have the committee say that the bylaws are currently being violated? I think that there's legal jeopardy attached to adopting a resolution that says we are currently violating the bylaws. I'm not clear in what way we think that something has to be restored or is somehow missing. I noticed that the proposed restoration of whatever is missing from what's required by the bylaws is conditional on a number of things. So you only restore these powers for the making of crucial personnel and programming changes, and only to support the financial stability of the network, and only do so if it's for media platforms, and only if those media platforms are both innovative and not innovative alone, but also listener supported, not listener supported alone, but listener supported and innovative. So it says we're violating the bylaws, but we're only going to restore the bylaws. We're only going to come back into compliance with the bylaws under certain limited circumstances. So I think this is highly problematic, and I'm with some of the other speakers in saying I don't understand how we're out of compliance with the bylaws. I certainly hope we're not.
Thank you. So this is Beth speaking now as chair. We are down to the last 3 minutes. I think this is clearly an important issue. There's not time enough in this meeting yet to resolve the issue. I would like to move to postpone this item to the next meeting, and that would allow Carol the opportunity to remedy her motion with directing us to those parts of the bylaws that she says is being violated, so that might help clarify the issue for the rest of the committee. Is there any opposition to that motion to postpone?
I would like to post in the chat just the part of the bylaws that for people to look at, if that's okay. I'm not opposed. I support the proposal, your proposal, and I just want to paste that into the chat.
Okay, you're free to do it there. I would point out that the chat is not a permanent part of the record, and that I can't see the chat. I don't know whether everybody else
can. I'll send it.
And I would encourage you please to email it to the list of all the members.
Okay.
If you would be so kind. Thank you. Then, hearing no opposition to the motion to postpone until next meeting, we'll consider that adopted. And I'll move on quickly to item number 9 and announce that the next PNB Governance Committee meeting will be Wednesday, August 23, same time, same place, same access information. At this point then, that completes our agenda and we adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you all.
Good night, everyone.
Night.